Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, Ray.
You just brush me off, they ain't listen. Now we going hard in the building. Finally seen the stars in the ceiling. Quick to cut you off in a minute. Got a couple war scars from the trenches. Yeah. Couple broken hearts, gonna fix them. Yeah. You smash me off, they ain't listen. Now we going hard in the building. Finally seen the stars in the ceiling. Quick to cut you off in a minute. Got a couple war scars from the trenches. Yeah. Couple broken hearts, gonna fix them. Yeah. For what they saying, it's up in the stand. I gotta make it my years. They know it's my time. They tell me I'm right, but fuck it, let's play it by ear. Play my music for the people that doubted me. Now I'm up in their chair. I know who got my back, cause I got my front, but the snakes in the rear. When I make it, you know ain't no sign of me. Top the rollie, did you see them diamonds blink? Dior. Cause she want the finer thing. Fly Miami to LAX. Over two time, they know I'm next. Freshman cover, so I'ma flex. New Jersey, my home, so I'm rapping that. You brush me off, they ain't listen. Now we going hard in the building. Finally seen the stars in the ceiling. Quick to cut you off in a minute. Got a couple war scars from the trenches. Yeah. Couple broken hearts, gonna fix them. Yeah. You smash me off, they ain't listen. Now we going hard in the building. Finally seen the stars in the ceiling. Quick to cut you off in a minute. Got a couple war scars from the trenches. Yeah. Couple broken hearts, gonna fix them. Yeah. Y'all don't really get it. Trapping out the bed, no stacking paper was a fetish. She called the baby, wasn't ready. Once you have my love and leave, you never forget it. Go against me, tell them bet. Overdose of him, you need me a medic. Call me a dog, I need me a vet. 10 toes, I ain't never regret it. If you ain't gang, then get out the set. Get out the set. I just want flex. If she ain't fucking, it's sure to get left. I'm counting them checks. Big step, but ain't jacking the step. So you could get left. Mob ties, then we got the connect. Keep my foot on their neck. Any, many, many, many more. Catch your eye, think gotta go. Body's dropping by the corner store. Hit him sirens, nigga, we don't know. I ain't got time for niggas. I ain't tryna bond with niggas. I like to change my mood, clean my zoo. For that 1942. You brush me off, they ain't listen. Now we going hard in the building. Finally see the stars in the ceiling. Quick to cut you off in a minute. Got a couple war scars from the trenches. Yeah. Couple broken hearts, gonna fix them. Yeah. You smash me off, they ain't listen. Now we going hard in the building. Finally seen the stars in the ceiling. Quick to cut you off in a minute. Got a couple war scars from the trenches. Yeah. Couple broken hearts, gonna fix them. Yeah.
Pressure, babe. She like the finer things. You pressure, babe. You pressure, babe. She like a diamond ring. She like the finer things. She like the finer things. Foreign bitch, foreign where she ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shot. I fuck with it cause she ain't toxic. And I know that shit. But she's feeling on me like a fuck. And I love that shit. Poor bitch, wrong when she riding. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shot. You pressure, babe. And I love that shit. Fucking that bitch on the regular. She not a regular. I give her ride like the wrestler. I turn her on, it's electrical. She riding the dick with no hands like a Tesla. I'm never pressing her. When these niggas be texting her, I just be flexing and sexing her. Look at my wrist, I got time today. But sit down like my rolling face. I'm about to surf in that pussy, just watch how I ride the wave. You pressure, ooh girl, you just some pressure. Baby, you a trophy, should put you on a dresser. Super, thick, ooh you, lit. Stomach, flat, super, thick. You pressure like when I'm smoking. You the baddest bitch and you know it. You pressure, babe. She like a diamond ring. She like the finer things. She like the finer things. Foreign bitch, foreign when she ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shot. Fuck with it cause she ain't toxic. And I know that shit. But she's feeling on me like a fuck. And and I love that shit. Foreign bitch from what you ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shop. You pressure, babe, and I love that shit.
I'm pressure. Hop on that shit, get electric. Ride on that shit like a Tesla, no hands. Hope you can handle this pressure, baby. Five-star, everything big. Balenciaga bag with the heels. Tail, I ain't never miss a meal. All this ass got him in his field. Four-seater, floor-seater. Pressure, I ain't pressed over shit. I'm a two-seater, foreign visa. I be overseas with the drip. Chanel frame, sleeves on the hip. Pop shit, clean off the lip. Spiky little mama getting rich. Turn a street nigga to sell. I'm pressure, baby. And you know you special, baby. I'm pressure like what he smoking on. I'm the baddest bitch, can't put me wrong. I'm pressure, baby. Drive him extra crazy.
I love that shit.
Other bitches, yeah, he dub that shit. Charlie, baby, I'm the one, that shit.
You pressure, babe. She's like a diamond man. She like the finest things. She like the finest things. Foreign bitch from where she ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shop. Fuck with it, cause she ain't toxic. And I know that shit. Pussy feeling on me like a fuck. And I love that shit. Foreign bitch from where she ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shop. You pressure, babe. And I love that shit. You pressure, babe. She's like a diamond man. She like the finest things. She like the finest things. Foreign bitch from where she ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shop. I fuck with it cause she ain't toxic. And I know that shit. Pussy feeling on me like a fuck. And I love that shit. Foreign bitch from where she ride. Damn, I love the way I feel inside. All she wanna do is go shop. You pressure, babe. And I love that shit.
I see beautiful songs. nobody wanna see.
Nobody.
The good that you do. But I can see what you're going through.
Yeah.
You got the hood in you.
You got the hood in you.
Still got the hood in you. But I see a beautiful song.
Can't get you off my mind, leave it all behind. You a mess, I don't know why. Can't turn back the inner time, leave it all inside. Them feelings you so high, them days I was so blind. Them days I was so blind, yeah, I hit rewind. See it from the other side, yeah, a different life. Leave it all behind, different state of mind. A different state of mind. I swear that I'm used to. This week got me lifted, the energy is shifted. She fuck niggas hated, she love that I'm patient. She love that I listen. Yeah, my new bitch, she amazing. My new bitch, she amazing. I really hope that you hear it. A letter to my ex. Yeah, say my name, I just wanna make it rain. I ain't tryna play no games, I ain't tryna bring no pain. Say my name, I just wanna make it rain. I ain't tryna play no games. Yeah, I ain't tryna play no games. Yeah, make it rain. Yeah, say my name. Yeah, I ain't tryna play no pain.
Baby girl, a message saying I won't be coming home. I'd rather be alone. She doesn't fully understand me, and I'd rather leave than cheat. If she give me some time, I can be the man she needs. But there's a lot of lust inside of me, and we've been together since our teenage years. I really don't mean hurt her, but I need some time to be alone. But when you love someone, you just don't treat them bad. Oh, how I feel so sad now that I wanna leave. She's crying a part to me. How could you let this be? I just need time to see where I wanna be, where I wanna be. Decision that's so hard. leave? Do I stay? Do I go? Well, think about my life and what matters to me the most. Girl, the love that we share is real, but in time your heart will heal. I'm not saying I'm gone, but I have to find what life is like without you. But when you love someone, you just don't treat them bad.
Smoking backwards with my my dick in her throat. Yeah, she like it, she love it, I call her the GOAT. I'm from the country, they throwing no folks in the middle of the street, throwing no 6-0. Signing the chalk and that be lifted up. Can't fuck with these bitches, all I see is hoes, gang.
Hey, Rick it back.
Believe me, if I want it, I'm Armageddon. I bet you won't forget me, I bet you won't forget me. I'ma play it cool, run my dice. Showed you love, I did it twice. Get your play and hang your skated. You the biggest lame, living life so gracious. Why would I replace it? Dreaming bigger every day, taking trips to Mars. Diamonds sprinkle like the stars. I'm a star, I just wanna ball. Full course meals, we change the weather every year. I pray we make it out, long nights up in the drought. Mama calling on my phone, hoping that I made it home. Jeans are popping champagne in a Maybach. Remember way back, family ties, yeah, they try to break that. Had to flex on my ex, yeah, I had to do it fast. Knowing that she wouldn't lie. You cannot replace that. You just said some shit, I ain't wanna hear that. I'm the rookie of the year, took my shot and made the winning score. Fuck with me, I promise you gon' board. Upper echelon, farming like a Megatron. Baby, I'm a don, eat it in filet mignon. Baby, whip it up, I'm on. Believe me, if I want it, I'm Armageddon. I bet you won't forget me, I bet you won't forget me. I'ma play it cool, run my dice. Showed you love, I did it twice. Scraped your play and then you skated. You the biggest lame, living life so gracious. Why would I replace it?
Yo. Hang on, people. It's boy Dre Strong. I thank you. I'm on Monday. It's starting to be this week. I hope everyone have a good weekend. Hope everyone is good health. If you're not, I hope in the time that you're on this podcast, you're feeling your best. God bless. Yeah, man, just chilling, man. My weekend's been alright. Spent time with the kids. As, did the daddy thing. That was good, they rest. Last night, I had a real interesting weekend. Children, like the old school of raising a child to the new school of raising a child, because physical discipline still works in 2023. That's my question to anyone. Does physical discipline still help? Like, back in the day, you know, you go get switched. You know what I'm saying? For the older people, for the middle-aged people out here, you know, you get that belt, that switching for it. And it's all about, so, more used to. You know what I'm saying? I always thought if you took the time to talk to your children and bring out hitting them, that, you know, I always thought it depended on how much time you put in the conversation. This past weekend, hitting my brother. My brother turned 12 years old. And, the 14th, you know, on the 23rd of February. And, you know, all my children, it seems like she's the most closest to me. Her and her brother, neck and neck. But you get a certain type of love from a daughter than you get a son. Friends will love you, for God's sake, you know what I'm saying? But your daughter is, like, you're her protector. You're her first man in her life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're the first one. The man is going to make her cry. And he's the first man angry with me. But if you don't get angry with me, she just shut down. Like, she wouldn't talk. She was traveling outside. She was walking so slow. And she was just, like, in her zone. But then, 2 hours from, or an hour from then, she snapped out of it and just didn't ever happen. And I was talking to Randy about the situation. He was telling me, you know, when they start turning into a preteen, you know, their attitude, they grow their attitude, or they learn their personality, kind of find themselves, family, or things like that. But I try to tell my daughter over and over, talking to her, talking to her, talking. So that really just is freaking. They're going to get her hair done. And, in Newark. Subway is new to me. And extremely new to them. And, the guy on train, I ended up taking the wrong train. So we had to get off on the next stop. And I got off. My son got off on the train. And the door closed. So at this moment, like, my head is like going crazy. At this moment. And, you know, it's like, I know what to do. Do I call 911? Do I, like, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? So I end up calling 911. So first I went upstairs. I had to find the elevator and go upstairs into the ground level. And, I was actually trying to see how far was the next stop, because if I thought, you know, I didn't know if it was similar to bus stop, but like, there's like a bus stop at any other corner, something like that, like, so I was thinking, okay, it's about to go there, but I didn't see nothing. And I thought to myself, our train doesn't just go straight, it turns, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know where to go. So I called 911, and she tells me she can't help me. I have to call the transit alive. Like, in my brain, I'm like, you're telling me I have to call the transit team, but I'm calling you right now, like, for me, period. You're talking about a child that is on a train by herself, heading to the worst part of Newark. And, I mean, God bless Newark for how things in Newark. I'm just saying, it's a high-crime area. You know what I'm saying? So the police come, I'm talking to him, and at this time, I'm just remembering in my head what I said to her. So you know, the same way our parents said to us, did you eat out this door? All right, that was for the rest, right? All right, make sure y'all know. And I had a good conversation with her before we left. I remember taking pictures of us in the subway, and the same pictures that we were taking in the subway, a half hour later, I'm showing those same pictures to the police because my brother is somewhere on the train. Yeah.
So that was very crazy. So we're going to take a break real quick. If you want to know more of the story, press 1 on the line. We're going to go to a song. This is just YouTube. You know the number, 563-999-3718. I'm here to talk to the story, press 1, or call in. Yeah.
My money, only thing I'm calculating. Precious is shaky when they see you about to make it. You say they showing love, but in reality they hate. You tell them about your wins and then they change their conversation. Money, only thing I'm calculating.
I calculate.
Money, only thing I'm calculating.
Calculating.
You think they showing love, but they hating. You tell them about your wins and then they change the conversation.
Check it.
If you owe me money, pay me, I'm impatient. And if I owed you money, shit, you gon' keep waiting. I don't owe nobody shit. Take care of my business, I'm legit. Can't fuck with my team, we too equipped. Throw me a bag, but I make a flip. On point, bet you'll never see me slip. A1 when I'm saucing with a drip. A1 when I'm saucing with a drip. Top speed when I'm flossing with a whip. G5 when I'm flying, taking trips. If you see me, know my presence is a gift. Too lit, I make all these haters sick. It's a nasty world, you already know the clip. My money, only thing I'm calculating. Precious get shaky when they see you about to make it. You say they showing love, but in reality they hate. You tell them about your wins and then they change their conversation. Money, only thing I'm calculating.
I calculate it.
Money, only thing I'm calculating.
I calculate it.
You think they showing love, but they hating. You tell them about your wins and then they change the conversation.
Oh, this girl thinks she the shit now. Bougie as hell, now she getting money. We should chill back in the day. That bitch was broke back when I was getting it.
Wow, so you don't got time for me? Start your little career now. Now you don't even know nobody. Fuck out of here, bitch. That shit gon' work.
That's when you see the true colors in these frenemies. All up in my face and behind my back is different energy. They don't want me to win. They would rather see the end of me. You'd be surprised what people do over jealousy. Listen, I keep my circle at the minimum. If they ain't on my level, best believe me, I ain't friendly. Old friends, they mad now. They said that I ain't helping them. But where were you when I was in the trenches? I was struggling. Now I'm in my bag and you mad, cause I'm doubling, not juggling.
Here, but this turning, it's puzzling. Every time I check, my money coming. Every time I check, my money coming.
Every time I check, my money coming.
My money, only thing I'm calculating. Pressure shaky when they see you about to make it. You think they showing love, but in reality they hate. You tell them about your wins and then they change their conversation. My money, only thing I'm calculating. My money, only thing I'm calculating. You think they showing love, but they hate. You tell them about your wins and then they change their conversation.
Why y'all hating? I ain't waiting, I'm getting to the money. My money, I'm conquering, I bet you can't take it from me. I'm from the bottom and now I know at the top it's lonely. They only want you around only when their stomach hungry. Why y'all hating? I ain't waiting, I'm getting to the money. My money, I'm conquering, I bet you can't take it from me. I'm from the bottom and now I know at the top it's lonely. They only want you around only when their stomach hungry.
My money, only thing I'm calculating. Pressure get shaky when they see you about to make it. You just keep showing love, but in reality they hate. You tell them about your wins and then they change the conversation.
Yeah.
My money, only thing I'm calculating. My money, only thing I'm calculating. You think they showing love, but they hate. You tell them about your wins and then they change the conversation.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of me. I'm Miss Lucy. Doing her thing out of New York. The house, shout out to New York. All the artists in New York. Jersey, all over. Cali. Yeah, man, but
That's what I was saying. It was a crazy experience. So I'll finish this story. This is a brilliant day. Remember, if you're on the ride, and you run the ride, it's testing the run, and I'll bring you in. Yo, Jay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, man?
Same old, just another day. What's going on with you?
Cool, man. I was just telling the people about my experience of this weekend about my daughter being left on the train.
Oh, yeah. That was like a movie.
For real. Just to let y'all know, at the end of it, I was a police officer, and about 20 minutes into me talking to him, who do I see running across the street on the other side of the subway? My daughter. And she ran to me, hands out, crying. And, I mean, most men, I'm sure you know the first thing I asked her. The first thing I asked her is, baby, did anybody touch it? It felt like an hour and a half. The time between me asking her and her responding back to me, I mean, she responded right away, but in my brain, it felt like 2 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, no, daddy, you're not going to touch me. I'm like, why? I'm like, how did you do that? How did you do that? I just got off at the next stop, and I ran across the street. They told me how to get to the other side, and I got on the train, and I came back to you. I'm like, why?
Good
that
thing
had to be God.
Yeah,
that had to be God. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It had to be.
It probably was. A life lesson.
Mm-hmm. And I said, hold your brother's hand. Hold your brother's hand. I don't care if you're mad at him or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
fine.
Luckily, it could have went another way.
Yes.
You know, easily it could have went another way. We hear about it all the time on the radio, on the TV, on the news. You know, just take a couple of seconds, a minute. It don't take no time for a kid to be abducted. Abducted. Or anything else.
Let me ask you a question, Jay. My topic is, does physical discipline still work in 2023?
Physical discipline?
Yes. So, you know, back in the day, at our age, we had to go get the switch off the tree. And then it went from the belt, and then it went to a stitching cord, and then baseball bat. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that still work in 2023?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know if it worked in 1973. I'm not a person, I've never been a person that believe in beating children.
Right.
I know all the old sayings, spare the rod, spoil the child, all that soft ass, hard head gonna make a soft ass, and all that is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I believe that I believe that it is necessary in certain situations for certain people, but I never really believed that it was necessary for everybody. And also, I had a problem with the individuals doing it, because some people gave you a spanking, some people gave you punishments, and some people gave you a natural born ass whooping. And see, parents ain't really go to school for that, so it was at their discretion. You know what I mean? So I know the old saying, I know what they say, that it's necessary, and you know, and black people is known for beating children and beat their ass, and you have to beat their ass, and you have to, but I just don't know. I just don't know. I believe that a mental ass whooping is just as good as a physical ass whooping.
Right.
I have beat my kids, like, you know, I'm not going to sit up here and say I never did, but I always felt like the mental part of it was more. I remember when I used to have my two sons, when they was young, I was married to their mother, and when they was bad, in school or somewhere, they used to sleep in the same room, and I used to come home from work, and I used to tell them, you know, like, take off your clothes because I'm going to beat your ass or whatever. So they take off their clothes, like to their underwear or whatever. And then I would just walk back and forth past their room, back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Every 20 minutes, every time I thought about getting up, I would get up and walk past their room to the living room and back in my room. And I would do that, and I would do that, you know what I mean, till at night, till they fell asleep. And and then in the morning, I would just talk to them, you know, and tell them, you know, how, like, I let them pass this time, because I felt like, imagine somebody telling you that they're going to beat your ass, you in your room in your boxers, your Fruit of the Loom or whatever, you and your brother. Thank God it was somebody with you, because if you was by yourself, that would have been too much for your mental. But two of them in a room, imagine every time they heard the floor crack or the door crack or something move, that, you know, they felt like they were. So that right there, I did that many times, you know what I mean? And that's what I mean when I say a mental ass whooping. So like I said, I don't know if it worked in the 70s or the 80s. I don't know if it worked now. But now it's different. You can't – the society is different. Like, they don't allow you to beat kids now. That your kid could call the cops on you and have you arrested. Now, that I don't understand at all. I don't know where that came from. I don't understand the logic behind it. I don't know who set up and thought about that. The only thing I could think maybe it came from is kids being abused too much. And if that's the case, then it's okay. But if it just came from some politicians or some people just sitting up in a room making new rules to figure out ways to get more money or fines or surcharges, then I don't really understand it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, but like I said, I'm not knocking parents that beat kids. I'm not knocking them at all. But I just say it should have been like, I knew a kid that lived upstairs from me, and his mother used to put him in a bathtub and beat him with a extension cord, and he used to have hooks on his body. He used to have hooks. Like a hooks in his skin. So is that is that teaching the kid or training the kid or making sure he, I mean, he still was a criminal after that. So, I mean,
can I catch it?
Who got more out of that? Huh?
Can I catch it a little bit more deeper?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think somewhere in our mental thing with slavery that curses our brain that affect because if you think about it, what's the difference between beating your kids and the way our ancestors were beat and ripped? You see how they call it a ripping? I rip my kids.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that they...
No, I was going to say, I don't know if it have any, I really don't know if it got anything to do with slavery. I just know that laws was different and our great-great-grandparents and grandparents, it was different. You know what I mean? That goes with the same thing with domestic violence. Like, a black man could beat his wife half to death back in them days and nothing could happen to him. You know what I mean? It wasn't no such thing as domestic violence. So, like, when our grandparents and great-grandparents, if they had a man that just liked to get drunk and beat them, I mean, it was nothing nobody would do. So, now times have changed. So I don't know if it had anything to do with slavery. I just think it's just something that, you know, carried on from, you know, one generation to the next generation, like, you know, and black people had it hard, you know what I mean? So sometimes they wanted their kids. That was the only way they knew how to discipline kids. Like, I mean, so I guess sometimes it worked. Maybe sometimes it worked. I just don't know if it had to work like that. I just don't know. I don't know. Maybe they should have gave classes on it.
You know, your average parent spends around 4 hours a day with their child. Between the child going to school and the parent working. You know what I'm saying? So they usually only spend about 4 hours of time with their child. And besides that, TV, internet, teachers, after-school programs, their friends, they have way much influence on on their kids and parents these days. Before it was always mommy at home all day. You know what I'm saying? But when your kids start going to school, that's when they build their character. So I don't think a parent really has enough time to really discipline their child without thinking they have to use violence.
Yeah.
Anyone out there got a comment or a statement on what we're talking about? Is discipline really permitted in 2023? Like, is it good? Does it work? I don't know. Y'all know the number. 563-999-3718. Oh, we got a caller. Let's see who we got. Yo, you live.
Okay. Yeah. This Sade.
What's up, Sade?
What's going on?
Man, thank you for calling in, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, you kind of said, you know, what the problem is like now. It's, you know, too much time. It's not really discipline being dished out. Like, discipline back in the day, you know, Jay said it, you know, where, you know, you had a discretion to beat your children however you wanted. Now, all of a sudden, you know, they make it where your children can call the cops on you or whatever. But, you know, I think it goes beyond that. I think, you know, it's still people still, you know, chastise their children, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them, you know, especially if it's a single parent household and they trying to work and provide, they just don't have the time like before, you know, where, you know, you did, like you said, there was mothers in the house, or even if the mother worked, there, you know, you had fathers around. Now you don't have, you know, it's a lot of individuals where the fathers live outside the house and they don't, you know, they deal with the children when they feel like dealing with the children. I think that's more or less of the, I think that's more of what's happening, that internet, tablets and all that stuff, like you said, that is raising the children. So the children have more negative influences than positive influences.
Yes.
So, you know, the discipline has to be there, but they also need time. They also need people that's going to be there with them, you know.
Take
time out with them and guide them. I think it's more or less they're not getting enough proper guidance. That's
right.
It's more in 2023, a lack of proper guidance. I think that's more what it is, you know.
On Saturday night, when my daughter, we had a little incident, but she shut down, and then she wanted to forget about it after. And, you know, we came home, and they turned on the TV. Start watching YouTube. I said, no. Are you on watch TV? I got something for you. So I don't know if you're familiar with Netflix. They have a show of teenage girls in jail. Like, you know how they got, it's basically the same thing, like lock up, but it's lock up for girls. So I made them watch all the episodes all weekend. Nothing else but that.
That's something. Yeah, I mean, especially if it's something where, you know, you letting them know, okay, you could end up there. You know, you can end up there. Do you want this type of lifestyle? You know, you keep going the way you're going, you could end up there. So yeah, I think, you know, that. You know, I think children now need more direction. They need, you know, they need their parents to, you know, discipline don't always mean that you have to put your hands on them. There's other ways to discipline. Like Jay said, he told them he was going to beat their butt, and now they contemplating when it's going to happen, so it's on their mind. So that was a good step. So it's many ways that you can deal with children to let them know that what they were doing is unacceptable. You know, that's the thing, that we have to be able to let them know that, you know, certain behaviors, we're not trying to let them continue those behaviors. I think the behaviors that a lot of children, you know, exemplify now are not being checked. The behavior's not being checked. So if the behavior don't be checked, and not only that, they give negative behavior and parents reward them. So that's another problem. That's another problem.
Right.
You know? Because if you reward negative behavior, then they got no incentive to change. But like you did something about it. You didn't let them some type of stipulation on them. You know, so you let them know their was some consequences for their actions, and it has to be. And I think that's what we learned. I think that's what the discipline was about back then. It was basically about letting your children know there's going to be consequences for negative actions or any type of action. You either get rewarded or you get penalized. So depending on what you do.
I got one more question for you that I need your opinion on, but we're bringing another caller real quick. Hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, you live. Who's this?
What's up, fellas? How y'all brothers doing?
Hey, bless you,
brother Miles.
How you feeling,
what's up,
man?
Miles?
I'm hanging in there, man. I think I was just listening to what y'all was saying. I was on earlier, but, you know, my daughter had an incident with, like, you know, she bust up her ankle. She ain't, like, no 10, 11, nothing like that. She a grown woman, but I had to take the call. I was listening to some of the stuff you were saying about the children. See, the kids today need more attention than we did when we was coming up.
Right.
You know, we gotta get them some tablets away from them every now and then. We let them put on them too much, and we as parents, we gotta start like paying more attention, spending more time with them. It's much harder now than it was when we was coming up. You know, because back then we get an ass whooping, but now, you know, it seems like ass whoopers don't work no more.
Nah, you just get a little tough.
Then you got these tablets, because I've seen some kids, man, like 8, 9 years old, walking around the street with tablets in their hand, like ain't concentrating on nothing but that tablet. Yeah. And when you take it from them, they have fits. They be like crying and acting all, like that's what their life depends on, that damn machine. And I know some women even get a kid hit. Go take this and go sit down somewhere. Just to get away from it. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. You don't know what they're watching out there, man.
I know. I remember when we was coming up, we used to watch stuff on TV. Our mother used to tell us, you know, when we see something bad on TV, what you think about that? And you're like, ooh, like when me and my brother say something like, yo, that's cool. She said, you think that's cool? Doing stupid stuff like that? They tell her, no, it ain't. That's reality, because some people do follow that stuff on TV. They think they could do it out in the streets.
Well, it's like this weekend, my brother asked me, he's like, Daddy, when you were a kid, what did you watch on TV? I said, you really want to know? He said, yeah. I said, you want to see it? He said, yeah. So I was thinking, damn, what's that put? John put. Episode 1, Different Strokes. And I went ahead and watched that episode, and then, you know, he was at work, and, yo, know, she was hooked to it. He said, I like it. And she watched, like, 2 episodes. She really liked that. So I'm like, compared to what they watch now, compared to what we watched growing up, there ain't no time limit on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was timeless. You can watch an episode of Sanford and Son right now and still laugh the same way you laughed back then. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, man, you'd be lucky you catch a kid watching TV. If they got a tablet in their house, your TV don't exist.
That's what I mean. No, that's YouTube. YouTube is in the TV right now.
Now you said, now you were talking about Netflix, right? They had a thing called Scare. They used to do the Scare Straight thing.
Right.
Take people down to the jail and all that, blah, 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 this and that and that. But what bothers me is, like, when these kids grow up, their parents, when your son come in the house, he's like 10, 11, 12 years old, and he got on a pair of Nikes or a gold chain, and he ain't got no damn job, something ain't right. When they 14, 15, and they got a pocket full of money, and they dress to the T, and the parents, like, they accept that, like, okay, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you taking the money, he coming in the house. He got to be doing something illegal. But see, then you condone that. And when you condone that, kids like that is more dangerous to kids, our kids that we trying to keep straight.
Yeah.
They run into them guys on the street. They run into them girls on the street. You can't go to school. They get in, like these, like what some of the girls with them. I know y'all always heard that thing, Goody Two Shoes. She thinks she all that. She thinks she all that. They do that to guys too. And then all of a sudden you out there fighting in the playground, getting cussed out. Then you got to fight to get home. Because when you got your kids, like, and we as men, if my son, 14, 15, 11, 12, whatever, coming over and he got Nikes and I don't have none, and I condone that, hey, whatever he do, and I'm condoning it, I'm just as bad as the rest of them.
Yeah. Okay.
We gotta put a stop to that.
All right, look, the second question. Can I mean, you still love?
Yeah.
Okay, do you feel that we should start taking away being a kid from our child? That's the topic. Like, do you feel the time that we live in right now, right, and the way that we grew up and the way we see things on it, right, at what age do you start teaching a child to survive in this world? Rather than just parenting. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to play with toys and play games and things like that, even fairy tales and all that. But we've done that. I think that's putting us asleep.
I think you start, you know, 3 years old, you start teaching them little things. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think that when children are little, you should baby talk them. I think you should talk to them even when they little. You should talk to them instead of baby talk to them. Like, people be, oh, blah, 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 blah. No, none of that. Talk to them.
Exactly.
And you start getting them prepared earlier because they're wiser. Children are wiser.
Yeah.
They catch on quick. And you know, like they say, like the from 2 to 7, they're crucial years. So if you can get good habits in within those times, you know, where you read, get them when they want to read, you read to them. You know, you want to start teaching them about who they are early.
Right.
Because I think where we mess up is we have this idea that school's supposed to teach our children. And we, come on, and the reality is we know that's a fallacy. You know, they're gonna teach our children how to be insecure with themselves, and they're gonna teach our children how to be workers. We need to teach our children how to be entrepreneurs and bosses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think we need to start that early as possible with them. I think that's where we fell short years ago because, you know, our parents, many of our parents didn't get a chance to, you know, go to school as much as they would like. So they just pushed education, not, you know, proper education, not certain things, you know, giving you a direction of what you should pursue. Yeah, we need lawyers. We need scientists. We need people who understand agriculture. You know, we need a lot of different things. We need doctors. But we also need carpenters, plumbers, and mechanics, and electricians. So we need a lot of different things. So I think that's what we need to start trying to set our children up to where they can do things that's going to be helpful that they can bring back to the community. That's what I think.
Jazzy, you're right too, because when you go around the neighborhood, you see houses being built up. You see a lot of Mexicans, Dominican Republic, they doing that. They putting houses. They out there putting wood to wood, nail to nail. You're right. They building houses and everything. And like you said, he right. I go with that too. When the first time he understands something at a young age, that's when you start disciplining them. Because they imitate what's going on at home. If you hollering and screaming and cussing and that's it, the kid's going to go up and cuss. You ever notice sometimes the kid be like, little kid, like, ooh, he cussing. They say, ain't that cute? That's not cute. Because if you allow him to be cursing like that, he's going to keep it up because he think it's cute, you think it's cute. Like Shadi said, you gotta teach them as they coming up. Like that, Gaga, Google, what the hell is that? Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The hell with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? What's up with the black baby and the black sister growing up to be, like he said, entrepreneurs? When I went back to school, the professor, he told us, he was a white guy too. He said, I want to tell y'all something I think you should understand. He said, college teach you to work for CEOs and all of that. They don't teach you how to be an owner of a business. They teach you how to work for people who own companies. You need to learn how to make your own company, make your own business, do this and do that. So I'm sitting here listening to him, like, you know, he's right. Because everything they teach you in school, like they said, teach you how to work, not how to own anything, not how to build your own thing.
The thing I understand about school is if you're studying to be a computer technician or something like that, right? You gotta pass the math, mm-hmm. and all these other things before you even start to study what you're going to college for.
Yeah, because if you think about it, Shadi, think about this, Shadi. When your kids come home with homework from school and you can't help them, that's a bad situation right there.
Yeah.
You know, we need to, when they get home from school, we need to sit down with them, read a book to them. Teach them how to read that book. Teach them the value of math and arithmetic especially if, for instance, Shadi, you run a store, you got a business, right? Candy store or something like that. Good thing to teach your kids how that stuff works, too.
Absolutely.
Show them just what daddy do.
Yeah, other people do it, so why should
they? Exactly. That's what we got to get back to. And stop labeling ourselves, too. We always think that if we got a pair of Nikes or Gucci, that's the way to go. No. Because that Nike and Gucci, you paying for that, that money go to that white man. You remember back in the days they used to kill people for them 8-ball jackets?
Yeah.
And them Nike sneakers? And why would you buy your kids? You got a kid 2-3 months old, I'm like 6 months old, you buying them a pair, $50 pair of sneakers, Nike sneakers, them little sneakers. And then what, in about a week, he can't fit them anymore.
It's hard trusting the kids. When they get a certain age, they're going to dress different. When they go to high school, man, you got to have some money. Like, they don't need that. And they need that. It's not like they want it. They need it. It's like the peer pressure in school is the manners, man. Our kids build it so much. They just go to school.
Yeah,
it's sad.
That's right. We got to homeschool. We got to home teach them too. Homeschool them.
Yeah.
And you got so many people out here today, especially young, these young women. They having babies at young ages and stuff, man. And they not even fully developed as a woman.
I mean, if you think about that, you know, they've been having babies young for, that's been years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at our parents had babies young. It's just that you had more help with the children.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I think that's the thing. You had, you know, grandparents that, you know, would step in and help with the children. Now, a lot of the grandparents too busy. They too busy running the streets, so they don't help with the children. You know, some of them. You know,
like
what
they
I mean?
Said, grandparents at 35. You're 35,
yeah.
And your
yeah.
grandmother.
Yeah, and even then, it was just that time. They had different moral. We had different morals and values. We were It is more about a family structure than it is now. Now it's about, you know, I can do without a man, can do without a woman, everybody sex clean. You know what I'm saying? It's about sex. But before it was about reproduction. People was having babies, and when they had babies, they knew that it was an obligation to be there for the baby. Now
exactly. It's
not that. It's not that anymore. So, you know, it's a guy can have six children, meet a woman, and she know he got six children, and she'll let him have the seventh one with her. You know, instead
right.
of saying, look, you already got six children you ain't taking care of. I ain't got no time for you. Go take care of them six children and get
exactly.
out of my face.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that type of thing needs to start happening.
It's
so,
like that
you,
record,
you know,
Brand Nubian, One for All and All for One.
Right. Yeah. So we got issues that we can fix, but first of all, we have to understand what is causing some of the issues, because it's you can never take care of illness unless you know what caused the illness, you know.
Hey,
Shad, when
we was kind of, we had a village back then because everybody in the neighborhood looked out for one another.
Yeah,
you know how the neighbors see you do something bad, they tell your mother, then you get punished for it. You get
now the neighbors say something. Now there's a mother out there with the kid.
Yeah,
you
but I'm saying,
that?
Like Shadi was saying, the difference between like then and now, because back then, you know, everybody in the neighborhood looked out for one another. You know, when your kid was out there doing something crazy, you know, he got disciplined for it.
Right.
But now
we see kids
act like that in the street. We just don't say nothing to them.
You can't. I mean,
yeah.
You can, but
we gotta get back.
Depends on how they feel in that moment. You know, well, tell me, you're out there, right? You talk to kids, right?
Yeah.
How much would you say a percentage of kids that rebel against what you say or you know, like that.
I mean, now because everything, the majority of the stuff is materialistic now, it's difficult to talk to children unless you have something to offer them. You know what I mean?
Right.
'Cause I did mentoring for years, you know, and I showed them, you know, take them different places, show them life skills, because show them plastic clothes. You know what I mean? How to pick up deodorant, all kinds of different things that they didn't know, you know? But still, now it's like the streets is calling and they want money, you know, especially in poverty areas where they have, you know, go to bed hungry. How much can you tell a child is going to bed hungry and, you know, he needs something to eat unless you saying, look, I got a job for you. I got, you know,
right.
I got something that's going to help you get something to eat. Then they may want to hear it, but it's not useful to them. And they need something now. They, as a child, you're not able to like say, well, yeah, I can be patient and wait for the future. No, you want it now. And that's a generational thing. You know, it's a generational thing that, you know, they want things fast. They want it right now. They don't want to wait until, you know, tomorrow or put the extra work in sometime. But right now, we have to start putting things together where we can employ our children. All these people in our neighborhoods don't employ our children. All these people we spend money with don't employ our children.
Exactly.
So we have to start looking at, okay, what are we doing? How can we change what's happening to start benefiting our children? You know, and that's why on the show, you know, Saturday, I was striving to say that we need to start putting some money aside so that we can start opening up stores. Because right now, we need, you know, grocery stores. We need, you know, bodegas, different things like that. We need our own. And nobody is going to give us anything. We can forget that. All that voting for a president, voting for this person, that person. These people are in there to make money. All that politics, that's a business. They don't, you know, we the only ones really got it twisted. Unless we got money to pay these people to go towards our agenda, or we stick together enough and we decide, like, this is what we want, that's the only way you could get something from politicians. And we're too divided, and we don't have the money. We don't put the money together. And then once we do get together, we can't agree. It's difficult for us to agree on a certain topic or what's going to be best for us. So we have to be able to do all that.
I heard certain people say that before Martin Luther King had that dream, you had that. They had black-owned businesses, and black people took care of each other. But they said once he had the dream, that's when other people start moving into areas, and we start spending our money in other areas. Is that true? Or how do you feel about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because remember, segregation, when you were segregated, that meant you couldn't go to the white people's store because they wouldn't let you in. So you had to have your own. And you had to spend with your own because they didn't want you around them. What happened was we were starting to do too well without them, and they began to get jealous. So they kind of utilized this, okay, few people, you know, because it was really supposed to be about equality, but really we were doing better without them. And we can do better now without them, but they've psychologically brain humped us to think that we need them. If you really look at who, with everybody in America makes money off of us, from the athletes to the entertainers to just the regular neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah,
regular neighborhood. So everybody's eating off of us. So if everybody's eating off of us, that means we can switch that and start eating from ourselves and cut these people off. You know, we instead of us, you know, giving all of our money away, we need to keep our money in our neighborhoods. That's the thing that makes the Jews so powerful, is the Jews' money never leave their neighborhoods. You know, our money,
right there.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, so we need our barbers, you know, if we got so many things that we need, so it shouldn't be difficult to guide your child towards what needs to be done, you know, because we know what we need. And we're so busy and we got so reliant on others to fulfill things that we actually need and we could actually do for ourselves, till we just became too complacent. So we have the ability to change that.
I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone. Put it on the kitchen table. Hey, Shadi, you know, what you said is true, because like when they did the boycott with the buses thing, when they stopped taking them buses for like almost 2-3 years, then white people saw all that money they was losing. They changed that shit. And when Martin Luther King said, hey, let's boycott Wonder Bread said, hey, let's not have that. Because, see, white America know where their money coming from. And, Sha, when you deal with kids, like you said, you teach them certain things. And when you get frustrated, what, you know, how you maintain that when you see frustration, not only on them, but sometimes do you get frustrated too? And then if you do,
Yeah, I've gotten frustrated, but but the reality is, you know, and a lot of them is their conditions. Like I've dealt with children who lived with foster parents, who parents had gave them up, or they were taken from their parents. So when they act up, rather than me getting frustrated, I have to check myself. You know what I mean? Only time I check them is when they're misbehaving, and I let them know that, you know, this behavior is not cool. This behavior is not acceptable. This behavior can later on cause you some unnecessary hardships. You know, so that's it. Now, when I dealt with older ones, like in their teens, I would tell them, like, okay, you so tough. Come on, let's go in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Let's go in the bathroom. You're a tough guy. Come on, let's go in the bathroom. Let me see how tough you is. I want to see how tough you is without being around your friends. So I would call them out. When I did that, that made them say, this chick want me to go to the bathroom with him by himself, just me and him. He ain't no joke. So they would automatically, oh man, you this. So they would basically calm down. You know,
they start listening.
Yeah. So that's how I used to do it with them.
Well, that's good. I know one thing we definitely need in our community, man. We need rec centers, man. Some activity for these kids, because over here in Patterson, we don't have not one rec center. None of that. It's all gone.
And see, this is the key. The key is everybody start putting their money together. Even men, and even the bodegas and all the places where you spend your money at,
right?
Them too, because you can't go to you. The only way you can go to city council and ask for something is if you come there with money and you come there with numbers, and you come there with a determined idea of, okay, say you see an abandoned building on a certain street.
Right.
When you come to the council people, you tell them, look, we've raised whatever amount, $10,000, and we want this building.
Right.
Know, for recreation. How many of y'all going to help us put, you know, we get this building and get the recreation for the children? Because in order to make changes, you got to change the way you're doing things. You don't want to come like you're begging. No, I'm not begging you for nothing. I'm demanding, based on you saying you here for the people, I got $10,000. You need to make this happen so we can get this building. And we need X, Y, and Z, and we need people who are going to volunteer to do the work that needs to be done. And we need the people who are building in the city, like the guy that's building all those high rises. He's the number one guy. We need this guy to help us put this together. He's getting money off of us. We need him to put some money back in our community. You know,
exactly.
Because he's eating off of us, and that's the thing. That's how you have to start doing it. But you have 50 to 100, 200, 300 people behind you. You know what they start seeing? They start seeing power. They see power. They see, okay, if we don't do something for them, they got the ability. Because if you got 200 people or 100 people behind you supporting what you're trying to do, that means them 100 people know another 100 people, and then the 100 people they know another 100 people. That's
because the council, they do see that. That's like, oh, snap, that's power right there.
Right. And I used to go there. I used to go to the council meetings and bring cats off the street. You know what
right.
I mean? And come in there and let them know that, look, some of the stuff that you're doing, you know, we need certain things. And they would, you know, strive to accommodate me. You know?
You're right, because once they see a full house, they know, oh, they serious.
Right. Right. I mean, and I learned that from this organization called ACORN, where it was a white girl running the organization, and she had a lot of blacks and Hispanics, you know, and she's like the puppet master.
Right.
And, you know, she ended up getting mad at me because once she asked me to speak, the people start, you know, kind of, you know, coming to me, and she felt like I was moving her out of her, you know, out of her position. So I left the organization because I didn't want to be dealing with the hateration, you know. So I left the organization. But I learned that is the way that we get change. We have to stick together, and we have to be willing to make sacrifices. Like if you go to a bodega and that bodega don't want to donate towards the cause, people have to
stop buying their stuff.
Yeah. You have to
stop going in that store.
Yeah. You've seen it happen, boycotting them. Their people gonna come too. Their people come there, but our people are the ones who get them over the hump.
Right.
You know? So we got to realize how can you have 2 to 3 bodegas on one block and both of them eating? And most of the bodegas that be there cater to the guys that be on the street hustling. And the guys that be on the street hustling spending the money in the bodegas.
That's right. You don't see none of them black. You don't see none of them black kids working in them bodegas either.
Right. Exactly. So So
I can't get a job in here, but you want me to spend my money in here.
Yeah, yeah. And I witnessed that the last time I was up there, because there was a young cat that was, he asked one of the guys that was in the bodega, could he help cook? He wanted to help, you know, he was interested in cooking. You know, he brushed them off. You know what I mean? But he going up in there every day, buying sandwiches, this, and he was like, yeah, I know how to cook, this, that, and the other guy act like he didn't hear. You know? And, you know, could I come help? You know, no, he ignored him. He wasn't trying to, you know, I ain't, come on, I ain't hiring you. You good, you only good to spend money with me. That's all you good for.
Now, you know the store that's underneath where Jay live at?
Yeah.
I don't even go in there anymore. I don't even buy nothing out of there anymore.
Why? What happened?
No, because the way they treat you, the lady, the little Spanish lady, whatever she is, she's very nasty, she rude, and she treats you like you're a criminal.
Right.
When a black person come in there, she always got her eye on you. But all the rest of the people coming in, she don't pay them no attention.
Right.
Like, that, you know, where my parents be with me, people like, yeah, why you keep looking at me for? I'm like, what's she doing? Every time we turn around, she's just staring at her. And she point up there, pointing like she got cameras. I say, what, you think we're going to steal something?
Right.
I stay out of there. I don't even send my brother over. If I want something from the store, I send him up the street. A block and a half.
That's what you have to do. Like, you have to, like, you know, it's, we are not going to get respect as long as we allow people to keep disrespecting us.
Exactly.
So how do it's just not going to happen, you know. So, and
now you take that lady you was talking about, the white lady who was with you with that acorn thing you were just talking about.
Right.
Instead of her being mad with you, she should have got together and y'all could have made it even better.
Yeah.
Working together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's because a lot of black people start coming to you, and what's she catching the attitude for?
Yeah, you know, because
she'll work together
with
you to get it better.
Right. Well, because her agenda was really, you know, it was about what they could get from us.
Right.
You know what I mean? Using us. So it wasn't so much about helping us. She was trying to help herself through making us think, you know, she was helping us.
And so you, when you came there, she saw you as a threat to her.
She saw I peeped it.
Right. And that's one thing they don't want us, white America don't want us to do. Start thinking like, hey, something ain't right. Hey, why we can't do this ourselves? We don't need them. And like you said, people come over here, they take $10,000, $15,000, go in the bank, they get a loan. Why we can't do the same thing? There's a lot of empty buildings in our neighborhood. We can get together and just, like you said, get one of them buildings and hook it up ourselves. Because I know there's a lot of people in the neighborhood that got construction, used to work on construction, plumbing and all that, could fix that place up.
Right, and that's it. But that's what you have to do. You have to do that. You know, everybody has to start just donating money, because it's no need to keep saying, okay, we want change and we're not changing.
Right.
If people see us changing and doing things for ourselves, then their attitudes will change towards us. See, you got to remember when immigrants or migrants or whatever, they come here, they're told to look out for us. These people don't want nothing. They've been here the longest, longer than anybody. You can see them on the corners selling drugs, drinking. They're not doing nothing for themselves because they don't want nothing. And when they see us and they ride around and they see us standing on some of us standing on the corners, this, that, and the other, they believe it. And then,
yeah, because that's that image we're putting out there.
Right, right. And then when they see that we are not owning anything, now they really believe it. They say, well, we don't own it. we done came here and we own this, and they spending their money with us. They ain't got enough sense to get it for themselves and spend their money with them. So it makes
you're right about that.
So they question your intelligence. So we got to let them know that we are intelligent.
Exactly.
That, you know, that we are more than capable of doing whatever they can do plus some.
Because I've always said to them, brother, why do you think they treat us that way, man? They ride through your neighborhood. They see you out there with your hat turned backwards, your pants hanging down. You out there drinking with 40 ounces in your hand. They're like, damn, y'all, you just make the whole neighborhood look bad. And then you wonder why, when they pull up to the light, you can hear them putting they lock their car door, because you got this image of being, you know, like out of control, like not don't give a damn about the neighborhood and stuff. And when they see that, that's why they treat us that way too, because they're gonna assume that you're a bad boy, you ain't no good, you this and that, because the way you out there on them corners. And I always ask the brother, I said, how can you stand on this corner for like 12, 15 hours selling drugs, but yet you won't spend 8 hours in a work, like in a job or something? Man, I ain't working for no white man. Yes, you are. Them drugs you selling come from a white man. That money you make, you go out there buy more drugs. Who you think getting that money? It's like they don't understand what they're doing. It's crazy.
Yeah, and see, the thing is with them, you know, because I used to be that. I used to have that same mentality out there on the block, saying that I don't want to work for the white man, until I realized that's exactly what I was doing. And not only that, I was jeopardizing my freedom for it.
Exactly.
You know? So it takes time to understand that, but they have the right idea. They just do. And don't get it twisted now.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the first nationality to sell drugs.
Exactly.
Plenty of people who in Patterson own bodegas and bars.
Yeah.
Were guys that I used to go to New York and get cocaine from. So don't we look at the drug dealers like they the worst people in the world, but drug dealers
come in all places.
We just the ones who don't switch it up and turn it to something else. We get knocked off.
You know, because in Patterson, that exact same thing happened here in Patterson. They had this club downtown that got raided. It got raided, and the guys with the bartender was out there selling ounces of weed, cocaine, crack, and all that stuff. And they talk about is on the streets. And they right there sitting in the place buying a beer and stuff and getting a bag of this and that and at the same damn time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
ain't always on the corner.
Right, but some of them let it go. Some of them, you know, they do it and they turn legit. You know what I mean? Sometimes they do that.
What turned you around?
I mean, what turned me around was, you know, my son, for one, and, you know, two of my partners, you know, one was murdered and one basically OD'd, you know, so it was like, I didn't stop right away. I started playing it because it was a habit. Just like a person get high, the whole standing on the block, the whole lifestyle was a habit. It took time to break it. But I made up my mind that I was going to break it, you know. And then, you know, my wife, you know, having her, you know, and at the time she was my some mother, you know, and, you know, we were able to do something that I wanted to do with my guys on the block. I was able to do it with her. And that was, you know, start getting property, to get property on the same block that I hustled on. That was the goal. The goal was for us all to own the block. You know what I mean? We hustle on the block. We need to own the block.
Exactly.
The guys heard me, but they didn't want to do what it would take to make it happen. You know?
Right.
And that's why I say that, you know, like, you know, we underestimate our women and things of that nature. And our women sometimes have our back more than our dudes do. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So that made it easier because, and I got a decent job. I ended up getting a job at Nabisco, so that helped me. You know what I mean? Just get from the block, but I was still hustling. So now I'm telling the guys, look, I'm working now. We could do all the things that I wanted to do, and the Jokers weren't ready. They just didn't want to do it like that. So I'm like, I left it alone, you know, because I put myself in a position so that we could really make the difference, so that we could really make the change. I always knew before when I came out hustling that you cannot go and take hustling money and buy property. I knew that from day one.
Right.
You know what I mean? I knew that you couldn't do that. So there's no way that you can do that. So you have to be able to work. You have to work. You know?
Shy, you ever read about some of the brothers who think they know the street better than you do?
Did I run up on some?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, when you got yourself together, some of these teenagers, like, they act like they know them streets better than you do.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them, you know, because they don't, the reality is you can't beat the streets on the streets.
Right.
You know? And I tell them that, like, in order to beat the streets, you got to lead the streets. And it depends. And you have to determine what term is you going to leave them. Is you going to leave it by death? Is you going to leave it by incarceration? Or are you going to leave it by doing something that's going to take you to a higher level?
Right.
So those are your choices.
Right.
And I don't normally, you know, talk about, you know, my street type life. You know, when I'm on the show, I don't really talk about it too
right.
much. But, you know, it's not something that I'm proud of, but it's not something that I'm ashamed of either.
Right.
Because it equips me with the mentality to understand the mindset of those who are out there doing it now. So I don't look at them in a manner like, okay, they hopeless. They don't have a chance. They the worst of the worst. No, they're lost. They're trying to find themselves. They have the right idea. They want to be entrepreneurs. They just don't have the proper guidance of how to go about it.
Sometimes those streets do make you get. Sometimes those streets in that situation, if you put your mindset, it will get you. It will make you a better person. If you really know, if you really start seeing what your life's like out there like that, you're like, nah, I got to make a change because this ain't getting it.
Yeah. Oh, Dre, what's up, man? We apologize, man. Started going on. Miles got me going on. Wife telling me I'm doing too much.
Uh-oh.
Still doing too much. So.
I like talking to you, D, because that knowledge you be putting out there, man, it helps me out a lot too, man.
Man, I'm hoping and praying that, you know, it's a team or forever, you know, hit the link or hearing the show, you get something out of this because you don't get this much knowledge every day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we need to wake up, man, because, you know, time is not like it was before. You know, whatever you call the last days or the end time, however you see it, regardless if if you believe in Jesus and coming back, you know, resurrection and things like that, like, if you believe in that, if you don't believe in it, it doesn't matter what you believe in. This world is, as we know it, is a very, 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 very terrible situation.
Absolutely.
And we need to understand that the end could be the end. Let me say the end. It may be, I don't like to say things that's going to happen because a lot of times you just speak things into existence. So I'm not going to say the things that's going on or that is possibly going to happen. But we just need to wake up and we need to teach our children right.
And
this is where they are. And there ain't nothing, there ain't no worse feeling to a parent. Your child is screaming, help me, and you can't. And a lot of parents are going to experience that. And I just hope and pray that, you know, you take heed to what Shani said, our black people unite, all people unite. No matter what color you are or how rich you are, at the end of the day, we all need each other. And the only thing that separates us is you got a little bit more paper than I got. And that's what this world is always debating about. Paper. A piece of paper.
I feel what's separating us is us.
Yeah, it's a piece of paper. A piece of paper with some ink on it. Is what identifies you in this so-called world of being somebody or nobody. It's not right. That's the truth.
Hey, Sade, I was just listening to C-SPAN the other day, right? And this brother came on there from New York. He was a Muslim brother, right? He was talking about how the school system where kids can't even write a letter anymore. They can't even read letters, paragraphs anymore.
And that may be true. Now, this is the thing. We don't have to allow our children to be the ones who they're referring to, even though more than likely they were referring to our children.
Right.
We have to start educating our children. You got to realize that it's a hierarchy. And the hierarchy will only stay the hierarchy if people remain the way that they are. That's, like Dre said, that's both all nationalities. As long as we're considered the slackers, the ones who will feed everybody and not feed ourselves, and other people can prosper, and the hierarchy can keep making us the villain, then it will work, continue to work the way it works. However, if we go back to who we were prior to any enslavement existing, prior to that, when we were the rulers of the planet, not just the country, we were the rulers of the planet.
Exactly.
And the hierarchy knows this. The hierarchy knows that we were the rulers of the planet. So we are the ones who they target more so out of envy, you know, out of envy, saying these people ruled the planet for millions of years. We only got the chance to rule for a few thousand. So we don't ever want them to get it together and start ruling again. You know, by nature, when Dre's saying the new, the end, the, all of that, the end would be for us to rule again and rule it the way it needs to be ruled. Because we are not, we believe in equality. We believe in peace. We believe in love. We believe in people growing and living together. We believe in this. You know what I mean? This is in our inner being. And I don't like to use the word being believed too much, because it's like you, but it can be used in a manner where we can be in what we are now, but we have the ability to leave this type of situation for a better situation. So when I use believe, I mean it in that sense. We're not going to continue to stay where we at now. Our goal is to move beyond this to where we know that where we're capable of being as a higher being, but we have to evolve intellectually and spiritually in order to do so. That's what it's going to take. We're going to have to evolve. And as many of us are, and there's a lot of us that are just hanging around.
It's like they're waiting to see what we do.
Or they need that spark. They need something that's going to spark. So this is the reason that I'm saying, if and when you start like getting it, like you know about the neighborhood house, neighborhood or each ward in Patterson should have a neighborhood house.
Exactly.
Each ward. So and it should have nothing to do with government funding. The people in the ward uphold the house, but you also utilize everybody in the stores, and all of them have to be a part of it. They have to be a part of help maintaining that. Chinese stores, all of them. But you have to
decide
gonna
be
which
neighborhood got to fit, got to join in.
You got to decide which ward is it you're going to start first.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do. You have to start a pilot, taking your pilot in all your different wards. So, and the neighborhood house would be a safe space for any and everybody. You know what I mean? So it won't be none of that, oh, you flag this, that, and the other, you can't come. And that whole block where the neighborhood is at will be a part of peace, too. You know,
exactly.
That's what has to happen. And believe it or not, it can be done. It can be done.
Like a safe haven.
When I was doing out there, the block I was on, all the neighbors were safe. Nothing was, you know, they could go out and whatever, and they were good. So it can be that way. You just have to and find the like-minded people that are in the ward, and the people who are ready to work, and the people with all, everybody has a different skill. Everybody has something to offer. Our greatest assets are us. So we have to be willing to do what it is, because we have people who are good researchers. We have people who are good speakers. We have people who are good at raising money. You know, we have all types of different people. So we have to get all those people together and start making the move of putting those neighborhood houses together, whatever you want to call them. But that's what has to be done. Even though I'm not physically in Patterson as I was, my upbringing came from Patterson, so
Patterson.
My passion is to Patterson growing. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I still have a family there. So I want to see Patterson bloom. I want to see Patterson be a beacon for other inner cities, and it can be that way.
Yo, man, we was promising coming up. Man. It was good at one time, man. Then all of a sudden, like a bomb just dropped on us.
Yeah.
It blew everything out of proportion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
we can get
Patterson
it back.
Can, yeah, it can only, any town or any place can only be as good as the people.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, if everything's going haywire in Patterson, that means the people in there have to start connecting, because there's a lot of people that feel like, you know, you, me, Dre, Jay, Lisa, it's a lot of other people that feel that way. We just have to connect with them. We just have to come up with our propaganda for more interested. You know, even if it's something we have to do to get them to start tuning into the podcasts and start listening to the information. Even if we could start there, getting more people on the line, more people involved in Patterson, we start that. And I got some ideas that I'm working on. I don't want to put them out there yet, but I'm definitely going to need all of y'all help once I do put them in motion. And, you know, because I'm not just talking about just doing something. When I'm speaking to you guys, I'm speaking to you guys with the determination of making these things happen. You know what I mean? So I'm willing to step up and put something in motion to get it started, and we can do it that way. So I'm working on
anything I can do to help, man. Let me know, man.
I'm definitely going to need all of y'all help once I start doing it, because that would be the goal. If you guys can pick the ward, whatever ward you want to start with first, but we definitely need to put that neighborhood house, because you're not the only one saying you need recreation. And you don't think children know that too? You don't think a lot of other people know that? You need some place where you could go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you need a place where you could teach them their history. You need a place where you could teach them how to write letters. You need a place where you can let them listen to different type of music other than the music that they listen to. So it's a lot of different ways that we can groom the mindset and make the children start seeing differently, but we need institutions to do that. And Neighborhood House is an institution. That can become an institution. And that's where we lack, because we don't have enough of our own institutions. We rely on other people's institutions to help us. And that's just, we see the result of that. We see what's happening.
And I get tired of the hearing that word, the hood. Man, we ain't no hood. We a neighborhood.
Yeah, the institutions. Or we're a community. And you can't have community without unity.
Exactly.
You know, we're a community. So that's what I'm saying. So we have to do it, and it's going to take some work, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but, I mean, it's going to be rewarding. It's going to be worth it, you know? So,
is that right?
Like I said, I'm definitely going to need everybody's help to do what it is that needs to be done, but I'm willing to put some stuff in motion that's going to help it happen. I got some ideas. I got to get this YouTube page where I can actually be live. That's where I want to be able to go live. Like, this would have been a good conversation for us to be live on YouTube with. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So that's the type of thing, you know. So then we get more people involved. Because once we get people involved, we can make the difference. Once you do something, if we do it in Patterson, now you can go to Newark, you can go to Passaic, you can go other areas and start duplicating it. You know, we already know that,
like a chain reaction.
exactly. It becomes like a franchise. You know what I mean? It's like a franchise. You just redo it. I mean, if we got a bunch of gang banging and drug dealing, okay, so let's come up with something that we can deter that we can start changing that. Why we have to continue to accept that, we don't. But we have to have an alternative. We have to have something to combat it in order to deter it. If you don't have anything to combat it, then you can't deter it.
Yeah, get them from going across that side of the street. Stay on this side of the street.
Yeah.
If we got some positives over here, stay off that negative.
Right. So you and even you'll get them to start thinking, because what we have to do, we have to get to a point where we start thinking, where we stop reacting to what's happening, you know, and we stop being emotional. And there's time for emotions when it's nice to be kind to your children, kind and understanding to your significant other, your siblings and all that. But when it comes to us as a whole, when it comes to making decisions that affect us as a people, we have to stop making decisions that will affect us as a people from an emotional point of view.
Yeah, because we got to get these kids to see us that we ain't only talking, but we got something to show you. It's right there. Right. You know, not that hearsay, he say stuff. Like, we got something positive over here. Come check it out.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll be able to make it happen. You know, just, you know, it's been a pleasure, man, Dre. You know, I ain't mean to come and start, you know, going all in on the show, but, you know, it's just.
Yeah, Dre, it's my fault. You know, I'm going.
Yeah, he Miles kept pulling stuff out of me, you know.
But, hey, because when I hear you talk, man, you get me going, man, because you be talking that positive stuff, man, that we need to hear and got to keep it strong, you know. And I like that. When you say stuff, I like to ask questions about it and get into further details, and that's why I know people like, damn, he talked too much. But, you know, I just want to know. I want to know how we're going to do it. What can we do to make it better? You know, we got to get involved.
Yeah, it's a need. We all know. All of us on this line know it's a need for change.
Word.
You know, we all for positive change. We all know it's a need, and we are the means. We are the means, and we are the way to get that positive change. You know, that's what we have to realize. That.
We got to let these kids know that we serious and we're looking out for them.
Yeah. They have to know. They have to know that they're not alone. And many
of them feel like
they're alone. That's why it's so easy for them to join gangs, because they feel like they got protection. They got somebody who got their back, you know? So that's the thing. You know,
so we got to give them the kind of protection that won't send them to prison.
Right. We got to let them know that somebody cares about them. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability, and we just got to, like I said, we got to put in the work and do what needs to be done. And you know,
I think school should be more supervised.
I agree with you. Let me tell you a story with that. I'm a part of this organization called the Brothers Reaching Out to Help Everyone Rebuild Self, organization in Patterson. We used to go to the schools. They ended up telling us that we could no longer come to the schools unless we get permission from the superintendent. They some crap like that. They know what
they
used to go to the high school. So what happened was they saw a bunch of brothers, a bunch of black men coming in, and children were like in awe seeing men come to the schools and things of that nature, and they kind of shut it down. They didn't want that. And the reality is, you're right. We do have the right as parents, as concerned parents, as natives of Patterson, to be able to come into the schools and see what was going on. You know, however, they somehow found a way to shut it down for us. And I was very displeased, to say the least, about it. But yeah, I agree with you. But what the way you would have to do it, and the way that you said, that means that parents would have to come to school. The parents would have to come. See, they're less intimidated when they see women. When they see black men, it's an intimidation factor. When they see women, they're less intimidated. So if mothers start coming to the schools, they'll be more okay with that. You know what I'm saying? And
that's when they start
unfair.
Having them.
Right. It's unfair, but it's just the way it is for right now. But if you do come, you bring your wife with you, or you bring the woman with you, you should start coming in and be able to sit in the class.
And we also got to do, when they do PTA meetings, we got to show up for them too.
Oh, that's a whole nother story. When I was working at Eastside, that showed me the level of how we were mistreating our children, how we were doing our children a disservice, because parents, when it came to PTA meetings, when it came, you know, parents' night and all of that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and report cards and all that, very few parents came out.
Exactly.
Parents would come quicker if your child said a teacher screamed on them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that type of thing. So we have a lot of issues that need to be addressed. However, we have the ability to address all those issues and put all of those issues to rest. We just need to each other, communicate with each other, and understand that whatever solutions that we need, they're going to come from us. They're not going to come from the government. They're not going to come from some outside party, some outside individuals. They're going to have to come from us, because when we knew that, we did better. When we start looking for outside entities to save us, that's how we got so lost where we is now, because we're looking for outside entities to save us. And outside entities is not going to save us. Everything we have to save us is already within all of us. It's already
You're right,
there. It's
already if they see them gyms, that hold like 500 people, and they look in there like 80% of them men, they start taking notice then, like, oh, snap. There are brothers up in here. These men looking like they're serious. What's going on with my kids in your school?
Yeah. Yeah,
what's going on in our neighborhood that we got to improve?
Yeah.
Like you said, we got to take it out of the government hand and put it in our own.
Yeah, the government. Look, the part of what Dre was saying, it helped us, you know, lose double parents was part of the government.
Exactly.
The welfare. When you look at
the welfare
had something where you had to get the man out the house in order to get welfare.
Exactly. Yep. You're right. That was their plan.
I'm trying to understand that, though. I mean, I do understand it's hard being a black man, and I don't know if I say I had it a little more easier than being disabled, but I understand what the other black men go through, but when it comes to things like that, I kind of don't blame the state for, because if they're going to have to take care of you, you really don't need a man laying up in your house if you can't provide. If the state has to help you live, and it shouldn't be a grown-ass man laying in bed next to you, and he's not doing nothing.
I totally agree with you.
And just because the man not in the house, that don't mean you stop being a father, man.
Unfortunately,
Dre, that's what happened in most cases. Once the man wasn't in the house, he stopped being a father. But then there's a flip side to this. There's a flip side to it that, okay, what if the man was there and he was helping out? Can you imagine how far they would have gotten working together along with the assistance from the welfare?
But if that man and that woman is really working together, I'll work nights, you take care of the kids, you work days, I'll take care of the kids. Let's get out the situation.
But they plan is not to let us get that route.
See, this is what happened, Dre. You seeing it, and that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it was, okay, imagine a woman, right, who may not have any skills, right? She's beholden to her husband. He's working, he's providing, he's paying the bills, you know. But now the government swoops in and say, look, you ain't got to be beholden to him. I'm going to pay your bills. You don't need him no more. So now
exactly.
That same woman that used to be beholden to her man, her husband, now she's telling her husband, I don't need you. You can do this. You can do that. Basically runs the man off. Now she's before she was thriving.
It's something that happens in that relationship for them to get to that point. You know what I'm saying? For them to have a situation where she's saying get out, she's not just going to go around town and be like, okay, fuck my nigga, I need to get my nigga. Nah. If they have an argument or something, yeah, I'll see her saying, you know what? I really don't know how to talk with your BS. You feel me? It's just one of the choice. You got to look at it this way, because
most of these guys can't get a decent paying job to keep up with all them bills, and then them landlords ready to rent.
That comes from the choices that we make for our lives as individuals.
Yeah, but see, the system is to break them down.
Nothing can happen to you unless you put yourself in a certain situation for something to happen.
Well, that's easy to say them down, man, because when you're dealing with the system, when they put them systems out there to break you down, man, they got ways of getting to you.
Let's look at it like this,
Dre. Okay. Now you got a man that's working, right? He wants to be with the woman, you know? you might, you know, and now they tell her, look, you know, you're not going to be able to get this money unless he's dead. Now, remember, they still take, when they give you welfare, they still will take child support from the husband, from the man.
Exactly.
So basically, right. So look what they're doing. They got the man out the house. They're giving her his money. You know what I mean? But now he's no longer in the house, but he's still paying. So now he's angry. Now he's angry. He's angry now because he can't be in the house, but he's still paying. So now he starts letting his emotions take control of him. Well, you know, he starts letting his emotions take control of him. And sometimes after that, because I knew a guy who was getting child support, and he worked at the best. He had a few checks. By the time he got his check, I mean, he could work overtime and everything. He may end up with a check. He might have made like $1,500. By the time he got his check, he might have had like $100. So all his money was going towards child support. And they, you know, sometimes that child support get caught up. So it's a little crazy because they don't enforce the laws the same way with everybody. So
exactly.
there may be a Arabic or a Latino couple where they're able to be in the house together. You know what I mean? And they're not only getting the welfare, but now they both got two checks coming in. You know what I'm saying? So they coming up. They're able to use it to come up. You know, and I've seen times where they would come and check the house. When I was growing up, they would come and check the house and make sure the man wasn't there before they would give you any money.
And you couldn't have certain influences either.
Right. So this had nothing to do with whether you had a bad relationship with the man. They just didn't want the man there, period.
I'm just saying, if you're not running, I'm guilty of a lot of things that we spoke about today, so I'm not saying here saying I'm better than nobody or none of it. All I'm saying is that if you're going to lay down and have a child, if you know that this pleasure is still in our cell to end up this 1 minute feeling and 30 second sensation to possibly bring a child in this world, and I'm not capable of actually taking care of it. You know what I'm saying?
All I know is when a man and a woman had their own apartment back then, and they was doing the good, child support wasn't nowhere near around then. But all of a sudden, when they tell a man, look, we're going to help you, but the man got to go, we're going to put him out, plus we're going to make him pay child support. Now, here you as a single man, you got your kid, your girl living over there, you working. Now, every time you, like D said, you get your paycheck, they chop half of your check up and give it to her, and then you having a hard time keeping your place. And then that's when you all that anger and frustration.
I mean, as I said, my father don't talk to me right now. He talks to me, but we don't have a good girl, gaga, daddy relationship, and I still want that. I'm like crazy.
But I know he still can catch a wave because, number one, my mother was 14 or 13 when she got pregnant with me. He was 26. He thought she was, you know, older. You know what I'm saying? And
during that time, they
were
better.
Hold on. All his life, he had to work, get jobs in order to pay for my medical bills and child support. And all his other kids couldn't get the proper dental plans and the doctor's results. My medical bills were taking up most of all of his paycheck. And that happened for a long time, for years.
But look what you're talking about. You're talking about two different time zones here. Because back then, families lived together like that, they survived. But now everything is totally different. Prices are different. Everything is different now. It's harder. Most of us can't even get a decent paying job to support our family.
I'm talking about what I mean. Talking about child support. Like, I know
that. I understand that too. But think about this. Hold on. Let me ask you this: when you living with your girl, you and your girl and your baby, and you working, y'all doing good, and then all of a sudden, here come welfare, want to get you out of that house, and they do get you out of there. Then what they do? They take your money from you to get back to her.
They don't just come to your house. Your wife has to go down, or your girl has to go down there because it's an extra help.
When they go down, they go for extra help. That's when welfare comes and says, look, we will help you, but this man got to go.
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
Why you gonna throw the man out? If the man doing right by his family and he needed extra help, why you gonna
right
punish him
his,
though?
If he doing right by his family and everything good, his wife is not going downtown for help.
Yeah, but everybody need a little bit of help. But if you're gonna give him a little bit of help, you don't punish him by saying, look, we'll help you with this right here, but he got to get out of the house. Why are you doing that?
You got to look at it like this, Dre. Okay, say everything is good. Everything good. Say like Miles said. He loses his job because welfare was really supposed to be like some assistance.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's supposed to be an assistance. So forget the child support. Just talk about the assistance part of it. Like, you need some extra assistance, all right? So he loses his job. He get laid off. So the wife go down to get some assistance. You know what I mean? Now when she go get the assistance, now he gets his job back. You know what I mean? So now they tell her, you know, now she done got used to that assistance, you know, and now, you know, for a while, now he get a job, and it's a low paying job, but they're making ends meet. They're not thriving, but they're surviving. Now, with the assistance from the state and the job that he got, they're surviving. But now, what ends up happening sometimes is now, because he didn't report that money or they find out he's there, don't you know that the wife would have to pay that money back? You know what I'm saying? So the welfare thing got tricky. It got real tricky for something that was supposed to help you out that really turned into something that was like digging a hole for you when it came to us. Other people prospered off it. Now, don't get me wrong. My mom was able to use it. My mom was able to use it to help her, but she was able to use it as she had to work too. You know, you see what you said before?
You just said...
What?
You just said, and now the guy got a job, but the woman that got used to it, right?
Right, right.
And that's what it did for my brother.
they're there to give you money. They give you enough just to make you say, you know, I like this, to keep you in that hole, you know what I'm saying? They know where your bracket at. They know where your budget at.
Exactly.
You know what he was selling you. That's what they do.
Right.
And then what
right,
they do
right,
now,
right.
They come and say, look,
right.
We're going to give you some food stamps, too. Guess
to
what?
To the opposite age, when he lose your job, you did it. If you get a job, you cut that shit.
Yeah, but
then
this is the point you miss here, because then what they do then, we're going to give you some health care thing. You can take your kid to the dentist and all that, and then the doctor and stuff. We're going to cover that. Plus, we're going to give you food stamps.
Okay,
and then
okay,
that girl shit back and see all this stuff. No, hold on. They're giving her all this stuff that this guy with his job, he can't afford all them doctor bills like that. So she got to make a choice, like, okay, this is my kid now. I got to do this and that and that. They gotta make a choice.
They both their kids.
That's
your,
the way. But CJ, tell me welfare is supposed to be like he said, just help you until you get back on your feet. It's not a lifetime thing. But they turned it into that.
No, we turned it into that.
No, they did.
A lot of us did
go out there and did the wrong
get complacent on it, you know, it did become like a generational thing. People start passing,
right.
like one the grandmother, the daughter, the great granddaughter, like, you know. So yeah, it did happen in a manner like that. So
that's how I got here.
It was meant to be like
my mother told me one day, I said, Mom, how do you get 10 at 13? He said, I came home one day from school, and
back in the day then. That was way before us. They was doing that way back then.
Said,
girls
13, 14,
15 having babies before we was even around. That ain't nothing
said,
new.
Go ahead, Dre.
My mom came home early from school, and she seen my grandmother crying. And she said, Mom, why are you crying? I said, oh, nothing, girl. So she said she left the room, and she ear-peeped, and she heard her mother, which is my grandmother, crying, but all the bills in front of her. And so she went to school, and her friend told her, if you get turned to have a baby, they help you. We have to help you. So my mom went and got pregnant and had me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So it's like, you know? So that was a crack for people. That was, you know, something that can help people, you know? But it's
hey,
totally,
Dre,
I'm disabled, right? It's a lot of equipment that I need that I can't wait for a prescription. You know what I'm saying? Or I can't wait for this doctor to sign up for all that. You know what I'm saying? But I have to be in the same category as anybody else. With which I'm on a razor. A razor is something that where it's like it gets the green light all the time. You know what I'm saying? If you need something, yeah, it's approved. But they handle everybody on the same level. There's no one like no more important. People more important than the next person anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what they do.
It's a plan. That's how the government worked. Did you know back then when welfare came out, for every baby they give you money, for every baby you had, extra money?
Yeah.
Extra food stamps. Then you got to ask yourself a question. Now, if I give up this welfare thing, I'm gonna lose all this stuff, and I'm gonna go back to this lazy paying job where I get less at this job, but they giving me more here. But I got to be on my own. I can't have a man. Can you imagine what kind of situation that'd put a woman into? Especially if I got two or three kids. For these kids, they give you like $150 a kid, and your guy only makes like maybe $600-$700 a week.
Excuse me, didn't they cut that to put a man kids?
They stopped doing that, and then they start raising up the food stamps. They start giving people more and more food stamps,
their cash money. Yeah, they cut a lot of stuff now that pandemic came in.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it. Like when the pandemic was in, they was making out like fat rats. You know what
exactly.
I mean? And other people was eating good, so they was making out real good, but now they done cut a lot of that stuff. So now really you're better off now working, to be honest. But then
people thought all that stimulus money was getting, they were going to try to take it back. You know, they try to take it back, trust me. That's why the food shortage.
No, listen. They're getting it back. They ain't trying to take it back. They're getting it back. Do you think these food prices is an accident? These food prices is getting that money back. They a business. This is a capitalist society. That means they about money. They prefer money over people. You know what I mean? So people after money. So they would do whatever it takes for money. So
what's that saying? They said, in order to make money, you got to spend it?
Yeah.
See, that's what their stimulus check was. They give you that check, $1,400, and then you go to the store and you add like another $500 to it.
Yeah.
And they get all that money to get $1,400 back plus whatever you're putting back into it. Quicker.
We got that money and spent it. We got, well, not all of us, but most of them got that money and gave it right back to them.
That's how it works.
You know how many friends I know bought them a PlayStation 5 for that money?
I ain't surprised. I mean, because they was getting it good. I was working at a halfway house where guys was getting welfare money and other, you would get, even when you were getting unemployment, they were throwing extra money on top of that. So all that money they put out, they getting it all back with the high interest rate, the high houses, all of that. So the reality is, the point that I'm making is, they really never give you anything. First of all, you got to take it like this. Where do the government get money from? Where do they get money from?
The taxpayers.
Right. So really what they're doing is giving you your own money back from the beginning. You know? And then you got these jokers that sit up in the White House making deals, wheeling and dealing, getting money on top of money, but then they will sign a law that will limit you for how much money you could get. You know? And then when you really look at it, how jobs work. You go to a job, okay, the job pays you whatever they determine, the government determines what is the minimum wage, how high the minimum wage can be.
I remember them laws.
and they also determine how much money comes out of your check. So they still got control over you to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? So they still like monitoring your money. Like you could go work a job and be busting your butt, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, they decide, okay, you make it $15 an hour. That $15 an hour, you got to pay Social Security. You got to put something towards if you what they call it, FICA, state tax. Federal tax. So by the time they done ripped you off, man, you know they knocked your head big.
See, that's another thing, D. You're right about that. Because see, when people get a paycheck, they look at their gross pay, but they don't look at the top of the list where they got all these initials, these boxes with these initials, FDI, AA, this and that and that and that. And they say they take $2 out of this, and $2 out of your money go to this and that and that. You're like, what the hell is those companies? That's the government.
Yeah. Yep.
And what they
That's
give you,
crazy,
they say,
man.
Oh, we're going to give you credit, and then they charge you extra on credit, too. You leave with your credit, what they do? Fill your pocket up again. When you go out there and get a car, if you ain't paying the car notes, what they do? They come and snatch your car away from you.
Hey, guys, we done went way over time, man.
Yeah, I know you say that, man. Yeah.
And what happened? We don't pay your mortgage.
Man.
The house is gone.
Look, man, I want to thank both of y'all, man, for holding me down tonight.
You're welcome, man.
A great conversation. I learned a lot. So, Dave, man, you got to check it up sometime, because I like your mind. I like how you read your bill, man, for real. I like when you write mentally, man. So, I'll be on your show, too, man. Won't you tell everybody about your show next Saturday?
I come on, Let's Talk About It All, same number as Dre, from 7 to 8 p.m., also YouTube channel. You can go to the YouTube channel, subscribe. You put @ANDREHILL 9, that's @ANDREHILL 9. And thank you, Dre, you know, for giving me the opportunity to share that with the people.
Definitely, man. And now,
yo,
man, thank you.
And D, tell your wife we're sorry for keeping you up late.
All right, I'll let her know. She heard it. She heard you.
All right, people, man. Yo, man, y'all stay blessed, man. And I'll talk to y'all Friday.
Yo, Dre, right, next time we go over to the time again, man, we're going to charge you, man, like $2 an hour. We're going to be welcome. We're going to come and get your check.
All right, guys.
Take care, D.
All right. All right.
Pain that I caused.
My phone off D&D for the last time. Said R.I.P. my brother, told my say that for the last time. And I come from a city where murder they favorite pastime. Spun around the block, caught up, he seeing flatline. Spun around the block, caught up, and now he dead. I said I got paranoid, I been creeping in my head. And if he try to play with me, then I'ma fill him up with lead. If I see him, I'ma see him red. If he talking on the phone, I make him regret what he said. I just popped another perk and I can't wait to go to bed. I said, bitch, I'm counting bread. You can see it spread. Got two hollow tips, they hit his head and turn him to a sped. If he talking on my name, I grab the chopper out the shed. And if he playing with me, then he know he playing with his life. I got a bad bitch and I can't wait to make her my wife. And any bitch that took my heart and broke that shit, then you could die. Babe, I don't know it.